Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
This is Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and I'm joined by Kevin Snook. How are you today, Kevin?
Very well, Janet. Thank you very much.
Great. Kevin is a manufacturing consultant. He's also the author of Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. And Kevin, in one of our last conversations anyway, we talked about the CEO manufacturing tour and the impact it can have on the team and the success of the business. And one of the goals of that tour is for the CEO to look for signs in that factory that need help and improvement. So you've been on lots of these tours, I assume. What are some of those signs that the CEO is looking for or should be looking for?
Yeah, and I've certainly been on probably thousands of factory tours, and so it is a big part of my life. And I've had the opportunity to be in factory tours in, you know, 26 different countries, and so I've seen a lot of different companies. I've seen a lot of things that people do well and do not so well. One of the things that I would say and I think today we're talking not just about the CEO and visiting the factory, but even for, you know, the plant manager, for the operations director, even the line manager, one of my goals is always to help people open their eyes to new things that they may not have seen before. And having the experience of seeing a lot of different places, I can help people, you know, look for new signs of things. So what are some of those signs? Well, the first thing when we walk into a factory, I'm really looking at the overall condition of the factory. And by that, I'm not talking about the age of the factory. You know, I've seen factories that are 120 years old and are beautifully maintained and are a great, you know, great environment to be working in and to be manufacturing products in. And then I've seen other factories that are 3 or 4 years old, and I really wouldn't want to consume anything from those factories. And so it's not about the age of the equipment or the age of the building. It's about how well it's maintained, how well it's the environment is set up for making high quality products. And so one of the first things we'll do is just take a look around and see, you know, the condition that the people are working in, the condition that the equipment is in, and the condition that the products are being manufactured in. And so looking for things like cleanliness, you know, hygiene, looking for things like piles of equipment in the corners of the rooms, looking at the details of the equipment condition itself to see whether it's being regularly cleaned and maintained to the ideal conditions. They're some of the first things we'd look at as we walked into the factory.
So I know in past conversations you've talked about how people, and I call this MacGyvering things, which is where, you know, you see a problem and you're like, well, we don't have time to really stop the machine, but if I just, you know, tape this or do that, you know, oh, it's going to be all right until we get to the end of the shift or whatever. You're also looking for those things that have been done over and over and over again, right?
Yeah, and you call it MacGyvering things. I call that tape technology. It's basically the same thing. It's where people think that having a quick fix is better than, you know, a longer term solution, and that's never the case. You know, we need to make sure that what we're doing is we are controlling or fixing equipment in the right way, and taking the time to do that. The best way to get a good quality product to come out of a production line is to make sure that that production equipment is at the ideal conditions. And that means like it's just been delivered. Now, to a lot of people, if you have an older factory and the equipment is 20, 25 years old or more, you know, one of the questions is, well, how can we possibly keep that equipment in as new or ideal conditions over that period of time? And it is absolutely possible. Now, it's more difficult to go from a situation where the equipment is older now to renovate it or renew it. But that ought to be, you know, that ought to be the practice. That should be what we're looking to do. Because by getting the right parts of the equipment running at the right standards, that's how we will ongoing produce a higher quality product at a lower cost. And so, yes, well, if you see areas where, you know, there's cardboard strapped to the line, there's sticky tape put on there, there's, you know, the wrong bolts in the wrong slots, all of those are signs that the people need additional help to do things in a different way. And that help might be more time, it might be money, it might be tools. The thing is, if you have a factory that is not at the ideal conditions, it's difficult to know where to start. You know, in many cases, I'm working with billion-dollar companies that have, you know, huge manufacturing facilities, and in some cases have been neglected over a period of time. And it seems to be an overwhelming task to get that renovated. So what we need to do is we need to look at a prioritization matrix. We need to look at the equipment and then start to prioritize where are we going to make a culture change? Where are we going to make a shift in this? And which of the changes that we make are going to give us the best return on investment? And so it's yes, it can seem overwhelming at times, but with the right plan, you know, it's certainly possible. And I've seen companies that have gone from a very low rating, if you look at an audit rating, a very low rating to being world class over a period of a couple of years, just by starting, you know, at one point with one piece of equipment.
And I guess, you know, if you continually maintain something, sure, there might be a little bit of a cost that is associated with that, but it certainly is a lot less in the long run than having to do that major overhaul or suffer some, you know, injuries with your workers and insurance claims and things like that that would occur if, you know, you let things go.
Yes, and, you know, prevention is always better than cure. But when you're at that stage where you haven't prevented it, you know, then there's so many different issues come. You mentioned safety. I was working with one company that, that knew they had a serious problem on some major equipment that could have caused a very serious safety issue. And one of the first things that the frontline employees brought up to me as I was talking with them was, you know, we don't believe that the leadership team is taking anything seriously if they don't take this seriously. And I have to agree with them. And it took me a while to make sure, you know, it was an expensive fix, but it took me a while to ensure that the leadership team would get that thing fixed. And the reflection on the frontline employees was incredible. When they saw that the leadership team were willing to invest in, you know, invest a lot of money in a solution that would protect their safety, then they started to look for all of the, let's say, lower cost ways to re-engineer, regenerate the equipment so that it was in better conditions. And it's a matter of building up the trust between the frontline employees and the leadership team. We're all in this to try to do the same thing, which is to have great equipment making great products at a low cost.
Are there actually metrics that indicate a good or poor performance?
Yeah, so one thing is the factory tour, and that's extremely important. You know, I feel like we can get a smell of the place as soon as we walk into a factory and you look around and you look at people's behaviors, you look at reactions to you being there, you ask a few questions. You know, that there's certain things that you can gather from the factory tour itself. And then we've got, you know, actual metrics. And I think every company should have a scorecard. Amazingly, in this day and age, I'm still going into businesses that don't have a scorecard. You know, their scorecard is basically, did we make the volume that we were supposed to make this month? You know, yes or no, tick the box. But that's really not an effective business. So having a scorecard, and I like to split a scorecard for a manufacturing facility into six different areas. You know, actually what's happening with production and productivity and volume, quality, cost, delivery. So are we making things on time and getting to them to the right places? Safety, and then morale. And so there's those six different areas. Yeah, production, quality, cost, delivery, safety, and then morale. And if you can have a few key measures on each of those different areas, you're going to start getting a feeling for, are there any areas of our business that are being neglected? You know, for example, are we doing a great job of getting the volume out, but at the expense of the good quality measures? You know, or are we really managing cost very tightly, but our people's morale is very low, and that's, you know, creating other issues? So yes, there's definitely a scorecard and a set of metrics that we want to be looking at to give us a feeling of where are we. Now, I've said this before with data and information. Data is just information. You just take it and you say, okay, that's where we are. It's not a matter of blaming or looking for, you know, who's responsible for this. The idea is to say, that's where we are. Now, where would we prefer to be? And if there's a gap between where you are and where you prefer to be, then the key to that is to put an effective action plan in place and start today, you know, taking small steps towards that.
Now, if you look at that scorecard and there are many issues on it, how do you know where it is that you're supposed to start moving through those issues?
Yeah, well, normally I would say for this, you know, a return on investment. But we've talked about, you know, return on investment of a couple of things as being quite difficult. Safety and quality are actually difficult to measure. You know, if I do the work on this to help the people be more safe, is that going to pay me back, and how is it going to pay me back? And so there's a level here of experience, there's a level of how you want the culture of your business to be, how you want to be perceived as a leadership team. You know, there's some values measures in here that we really need to be taking a look at. So I would say quality, critical quality and critical safety issues really need to be, you know, a high priority. And then for things like the production measures, then how do we do a return on investment for each one of these different areas that we could be fixing? Now, it's this is where coaching and consulting can really add a lot of value, because it's difficult for different levels in the organization to say, look, I really think this is important to do. It tends to be a process of talking to the frontline employees who work there every day and really want the right things to happen. Talking to them in a way that listens and really understands their input, and then using that with the prioritization matrix and choosing the right next steps.
When you go into a factory and you see issues and people talk to you about issues and whatnot, how important is it that you are a fresh pair of eyes walking around there? Because honestly, when you've stared at something long enough, I think there are times when you just don't see it as clearly as somebody who's never really looked at it or hadn't seen it recently sees it. So how often are you able to go in there and go, well, really, it's you know, we should just do it this way, and that would fix this, and this would mean this would happen, and we'd be a little bit farther down the road to getting this sorted?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it, you know, you can take an example of your own house or your own office. And if you could go in there with a completely fresh pair of eyes, you know, what would you see? Now, then the key to that, you know, after that step is to say, all right, what's really a priority around here? Often when people start to renovate a factory or renovate equipment, they're looking at, you know, or we need to get this painted. And I have no interest in the color of the paint, or even in some cases, the quality of the paint. That's not going to affect the condition of the equipment. What we need to be looking at is the equipment in terms of what are we trying to produce with this equipment. You know, if we're running equipment with, you know, greased bearings and belts and you know, conveyor belts, the things that are touching the product, are they clean? Right? So let's start at the very basics. If I'm going to make something, am I making that product and everything that touches that product, is that being kept clean so that the product is coming out in the condition that I expect it to come out? And then you gradually work further out from that product. So I wouldn't immediately go in and be painting the walls of the facility. I'd be looking at the equipment, manufacturing conditions, and then moving from that point outwards. And there's some great tools that you can use. You know, lean manufacturing is a great tool if it's used properly. The 5S program, where you look at, you know, five steps to getting your environment clean and organized is a great way to start a program. But I would say you need to use those programs carefully so that they're really adding value and not adding additional work without value to the factory teams.
And how long does it really take to make this culture change within a company?
Well, the culture starts changing immediately. So I think I was thinking about this yesterday in my kitchen. My kids often, I've got young kids, and each time my kids ask me to measure them. And so, you know, every couple of weeks or every month we're measuring the kids. You know, you put a cereal box on their head and you see how tall they've grown and mark it off on the door frame. And the reason we do that is that children's height changes slowly. And they want to know that they're actually growing, you know, because when you look in the mirror every day, you don't see that you're growing. Right. And it's the same thing with a factory and a culture. It's difficult to see that change. So, but actually change starts now and then it gradually increases. I love the idea of before and after photographs. So wherever you are now, take photographs of everything in your facility, take photographs of your equipment, mark that off as, you know, as day one. And then you can start to see how things are changing. It starts now. Frankly, in my experience, to change a culture, it takes at least 18 months. Now, you start to get results and things happening much faster than that. But often if you're a consultant and you're leading a culture change, if you walk away too quickly, then things will slip back. You know, the old habits will creep back in again. But if you can stay with that for about 18 months, then what you'll find is that, you know, walking away, a lot of those things will have become a new habit, a new way of doing things. And there'll be enough momentum for the team to continue on their own.
And how do you move through a plateau? Because certainly when you're making changes, you occasionally hit a plateau where it looks like nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And you're not getting anywhere.
You're absolutely right. And that's when people often slip back because they're like, you know, I'm putting a lot of effort into this and I really don't see the momentum keeping going. The before and after photographs are great for that because they do show that things are changing. Keeping a good eye on the right metrics and looking for the ones where you are making, you know, your productivity volume output may stall for a little whilst you're renovating equipment. But you'll be able to see that in renovation photographs. And then all of a sudden, you'll get a kick forward. I was working with a production line early in my career, and we decided to completely rebuild that line. And we knew that the line would be shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. And then when we got it started up again, it was running no better than it was when we stopped it and cleaned it and realigned everything. And everybody got a little bit demoralized, including me. But we knew we were doing the right thing. And we just had to keep pushing through that plateau. And after about 2 weeks after that, we started seeing best ever results for our line. And after 2 months, we had the best ever results in the factory, basically the best that they'd seen in Europe. And so you have to have a level of confidence, and this is where outside eyes and experience can help you as well, that following the right process is going to give you the benefit. And then it takes a little bit of, a little bit of determination and commitment and grit to stick with it until you start seeing those results come.
You said that the time to start is now. Take those photos now. And sometimes those pictures are so ugly, right? You just go, I honestly don't want to take that picture because I don't want anyone to know it looked like this. But that is the key, because if you start making even the smallest changes, that's got to start looking better quite rapidly.
Yes, it is. And again, this comes down to an overall culture of the business. You know, blame is not a good motivator. So if you see a picture of something that doesn't look great and then go and start to look for the people to blame why this is not the way it should be, you know, that you're not going to motivate anybody. There's a stage where you have to say, well, this is the way it is. And mm-hmm. Where do we want to be? Where's our gap? And then let's take a look at that and reward people for getting closer to where we want to be rather than beat them up for where we are now. And, you know, this whole idea about don't react to things, right? Don't react to it at the moment. Just get a measure of where you are and then work out what's the right response. In some cases, the right response will be to hold people accountable and to say, this is not acceptable. But that's a response, it's not a reaction. And so we choose a path forward and then we choose the right management techniques to help us get there.
And I guess in the end, really, if a situation, if something is set in a certain way, there's a reason it's that way. It's because everybody's kind of let it get that way. So we're all responsible in the end and we all just have to, you know, suck it up. And maybe some people are a little bit more responsible, but we all have to take some blame and work together to make it better.
Absolutely. Most of these factories, you know, have got this way over a number of years. And there are reasons and causes for that. What I find in every single factory is the frontline employees want to do the right thing. They're the people who have more at stake in this business than anybody else, because it's very difficult as a frontline employee to go and find another job. You know, as a well-qualified manager or leader, you're more likely to be able to move out of the business and find another job somewhere else. But as a frontline employee, that is difficult. And so I know that frontline employees want to do the right thing, but over a period of time, they've quite often been calling up issues, they've been asking for help and support, and they haven't been getting it. And eventually things, you know, deteriorate. And so we have to understand that really it's just the way it is. And now, what is it that we're going to do differently to turn this around and to make it significantly, you know, to make significant improvements?
Okay. Kevin, I guess the time to start for everybody is to start now. And I think we'll have to end it right there. But thank you very much. I'm going to actually, as soon as we're done this conversation, take a picture of my office and then look at it in 3 days.
Fantastic. That's a great start.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Make It Right podcast. You can find us on iTunes and at lucidi4.com, Make It Right. We hope you'll share the podcast with your colleagues. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll chat to you again soon. Take care, Kevin.
Thank you very much.